This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and Don't Be Fooled by the Broth That I Got is something I just sang out loud to myself while I was making soup. Thank you.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I never have, and I never will trust a Gavin.
I'm Tess Barker, and I don't trust people who I have to explain Grey Gardens to.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Could you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
I hope anybody is not hearing my dog angrily barking in the background right now. He is very mad. There's construction happening outside all day, and he hasn't gotten to properly smell the smells of the contractors after they've left. So he's furiously barking at a wall in my bedroom right now.
Just discombobulated smells with no body to match them to.
Yeah, exactly. And he's old. So he's already senile. So there's just a lot going on in his brain.
Oh, my God. Speaking of dogs, I forget, somebody tweeted a picture of a combination golden retriever weenie dog today, and I just had this thought, like, I just want to run in an open field with a bunch of those.
I love a golden wiener, that's for sure. Oh, so dumb. Let's bring on our guest!
Yay!
She's so amazing, we're so excited to have her. She's... Would you say co-host of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend?
Oh, I would never, Sam, co-host. I would never, Sam, co-host. I would say I'm featured on, but I would. Sharing a title with Conan O'Brien—that's a tall order. So no.
Professional friend of Conan O'Brien, Sonam Obsessian, everybody.
That works. That's perfect. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thanks for doing it.
This is so exciting.
You guys, I'm house sitting for my mom right now. Everyone vote. Tonight, should I put on my prom dress and order a pizza? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Does your prom dress still fit?
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, I think I'm actually skinnier than I was when I went to prom.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, are you serious?
Wow. Damn.
Oh, my
Tess
God.
Tess Barker, everybody. Rubbing
it in. I ate a lot of Taco Bell in high school. I didn't have an, you know.
And you don't now. Okay, fine. Life choices. We get it.
Oh, my God. Good for you.
Man. Sona, what did you wear to your prom? Do you remember?
I went to two junior proms, mm-hmm. and then I didn't go to my senior prom. But then when I was 32, a 17-year-old boy asked me to go to prom, who is a good family friend. And so I went to prom when I was in my 30s.
With
a young teenage boy. Yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
Back it up. Tell us. Yeah.
The two dresses I wore to that junior prom when I was of the proper age to go to prom, I wore like a typical dress. And then in my 30s, I wore like a more sort of, I didn't want to wear anything provocative.
Mm-hmm. Of course. He was a child.
Yes, he was a child and I was a grown ass fucking woman. Excuse my language. I'm going to stop.
No.
By all means.
Curse away.
Yeah. So, you know, he asked me to go and I thought I'll say yes. But obviously the school will say absolutely not, because my school had a cutoff age and I think it was like 22 or something.
Still too old.
I think so too. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, of course I'll go, thinking the school would be like, absolutely not. And then the school was like, yeah, of course. Here's a form she has to fill out. And I think the form was just like, I'm not a pedophile.
And, yeah, basically,
you know, and I signed it, and I went to this prom, and I think that I remember walking in.
Wait, this was a form that they had prepared for these.
It was a private school. So, and I think it's like an artistic private school. So they're very like, you know, if this is what you want to do and bring a grown woman to prom, then, you know, that's your journey. And we're just going to trust that this is the right journey for you. So anyway, I mean, I got there and I instantly was like, I need to be by the teachers. I just cannot.
Yes. Yeah.
What was your feeling when you walked in? Like, what?
It was, I think that he had already told people, he's like, I'm bringing a 32-year-old to prom. Like, so everybody, we walked in and it felt like, you know, those movies where like the record scratches and everyone looks at you and they're like, here's the old lady. She came. The old lady's here. It was awful.
Did you feel like I'd never been kissed? Kind of like, wow, I'm revisiting, you know.
No, because I don't have to revisit my prom. Like, I'm fine not revisiting that shit. I'm okay with it. But you know what? It was nice. I think that he liked having that story. And I think that he, you know, it was harmless and it was fine. Like, you know, I didn't mind it.
Do you drink before that?
I got high.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Got it, yeah. Something would need to happen.
That's not something to just be handled in the stone cold light of sobriety.
No, no, no. And this one dickhead kid came up to me. He's like, don't I have a class with you? And he said it in a way I'm like, no, I'm old enough to be your mother. I mean, technically I am, but no, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Man, did hanging out with the teachers, were they like, oh, what, are you new? Who did you teach? Or were you like, no, I'm here with that kid over there.
I wanted to hang out with the teachers, but okay. I ended up just hanging out with him. We danced a little, like, you know, and this, I was the one who was like, we were maintaining a distance. You can't get too close to me. I don't want to feel your pelvic region.
No.
Like, no. So, yeah. So, like, I was like the nun at the prom with the ruler between us. Let's keep this.
Why did this happen?
Was he trying to, do you think he was going to try to make a move on you?
He was a family friend. No, he's like a cousin.
I think that, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. I think that he just wanted, like, we get along. He's a really sweet kid. And I think he's an old soul. I don't think there was anybody at school that he wanted to go to prom with. So he just.
Oh, I see.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Cool.
Was it nerve-wracking choosing your dress? Or do you outgrow that?
Yeah, no, it was because I wanted to choose something that was like, hey guys, I still got it. But I also didn't want to be like, hey, look at my tits. You know, I didn't want to. I didn't
look at this woman's tits.
Fine line.
Yes. Yeah, that's very specific line to ride when you're like, I want to look good, but I don't want to be hot to eat.
Yes. It's the same kind of thing as like when you're officiating a wedding, I think, where it's like, I'm like, I want to look good, but also I don't want to be like sexy because like there's a bride in front
you
of me.
Can't be too good. You're not supposed to be the star.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. And you also just, you want them to think you're like, this is sad, but I wanted those kids to think I was cool. Like, oh, 100%. I wanted them to be like, oh, she's cool. Like, I'm okay with my 30s. If my 30s are like being cool, like this lady.
Oh, I still, if I like pass a group of teenagers, I'll be like, yeah, my purse is a fanny pack. What?
Yeah, I know. I remember I was walking down the, like by a park and there were these kids that were doing these football drills. I think, I don't know. And we were like, hey, are you guys going to play fat flag football? Or is this like a, you know, like, are you trying out for the football team? And this one kid was just like, we're practicing. And he said it to me in such a like dismissive way.
Ouch.
Then he turned to his friend and he said something and they both started laughing. And I looked at my friend who was walking with me and I was like, what do we do? How do I let them know I'm cool? Like, what do I, it bothered me for a week. For a week, I was like, remember that kid who laughed at me? Like, what do I do? Do we go back the next week? And should I show him like, hey, look at my YouTube videos. I'm on TV sometimes with Conan O'Brien. And they'll be like, who the fuck is Conan O'Brien?
Sometimes he plays video games on YouTube. That's what they'd say.
Yeah, like, I'm cool. I didn't know. I thought you guys were playing flag football. I didn't know this was practice for your varsity football team.
Yeah.
I think our last like venture into anywhere that was not LA was in Boise, Idaho. And we went to like, we were like exploring some structure downtown, and there were teenagers there who were on drugs or something. And I remember being like, I want them to think I'm cool.
It's so yeah. sad.
And I think they did. I think we were like, we did it. We impressed them, right? Did
yeah,
we impress the teens you had?
I'm going to remember it that way. We were like hanging out up in, it was this like big.
I don't remember like, these teens at all.
Well,
you don't?
No,
you don't
I have no like, recollection of these
Tess,
teens.
Tess was very drunk and high.
Was it after the playground? Or during?
No, it was in the playground.
That was around, it was like the playground.
Yeah, it was this like big like structure thing that was like an interactive playground. We were like all up in it and like they couldn't see us. But we were like, oh, hey, skateboarders. We're yelling down at them and everything. So I think.
But there were also kids in that, whatever, in that light structure that were like all fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They were cute. Yeah, that's right.
So did they think you guys were cool? Like, did they laugh at you or what happened?
I think they laughed at us. It was kind of like that weird thing where you're around some strangers and no one's really acknowledging each other, but you're kind of like doing something to get the attention of someone else. I guess it was just like being around a teen boy.
The fact that they were clearly on hallucinogens and we didn't scare them into submission means that they thought we were at least kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
We weren't nervous.
There was a security guard who like yelled at us at one point and they saw it. So I think that that made us cool
too. Give us some
credit.
Yeah.
Nice.
We did try to go down a big slide and got shut down.
Oh, I went down that slide.
Oh, yeah.
No, you didn't. No,
you did the bigger one?
Yeah.
Well, the other one, Boise? The security guard, like, there was a slide that went down, like, the entire parking structure. So we snuck up to the top, and the security guard was like, you guys can't go down that slide. And I just went, okay. And then I just went down the slide.
Oh. You looked at him and broke the law?
I mean, you didn't go down
it. I did. Yes, that's, I did.
No, she didn't.
That's
crazy. No, boss. Tess, you did not go
a
down.
1,000%. I went down that slide. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. One of you did too. Me and one. No. I think Brandy.
No.
No, Tess, I don't know what's going on, but we didn't go down the slide.
Can't you guys just say you did?
I promise you, I have a memory of dangling on that bar, looking at the guy, and then going down the slide. There was that bigger slide that you couldn't even access because that was blocked off. And then there was the smaller slide.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. The bigger slide. Yeah. I forgot the little one, but the big slide we definitely couldn't do.
Yeah.
That's where the security guard yelled at us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Been vindicated.
Like, I'm so sorry.
We're getting this straight.
I didn't think you fabricated it, but I was thinking of the one, the really tall
this
one.
This was hard to watch. I'm not going to lie.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You're here for a lady-to-lady fight.
This is our Real Housewives moment. We were like, you did not go down that slide.
What do you mean? Anyway, that was in the before times.
Yeah, that was the last like hang we ever had in person.
Someone was actually just talking today about how a lot of people are leaving California for Idaho.
Well, I think Idaho.
Yeah, the big cities people are leaving for.
Yeah, I think people seem to like snowboarding in Idaho. So I guess if you're like that kind of person, Idaho, a lot of people seem to like to go there for that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I mean, you know, how much can you get out of a city in like 2 days? But
yeah,
you know, it was a place with people who came to see us do comedy. So.
Yeah, they were a fun audience. We had a good time there. We did an all you can eat sushi competition between Tess and I. And I think we tied. I'm going to call it a tie. But then we were useless the rest of the night until about 2 hours later. Then we were hungry again because that's sushi rules.
Oh, yeah.
Is it one of those places where if you don't eat like a certain amount of sushi, you have to pay for it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Every roll you ordered, you had to finish the roll or like you would have to pay for that
extra. We
were
hiding pieces at the end. We were like trying to hide them like in napkins and like around.
Like going to the bathroom and just like with my mouth full.
Oh my God. I'm sure everybody probably does some. Who's going to do that? Who's going to pay for sushi they don't eat at an all-you-can-eat sushi place? That's just.
Also, no. Just I feel bad for the servers. Like, are you really going to make someone
Yeah, exactly. I would just lie about it if I was the server and just be like, also that makes you a cool server and then you get tipped more because I would point it out. I'd be like, no, just so you know,
I'm cool.
I'm saying that you ate this whole thing. So yeah. You could make up for that with your tip.
In that situation, the sushi eater is the teen.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I want sushi.
God, always.
I didn't talk about this yet, but I went to this like, I don't know So, and have you done any of these drive-through experience things that have popped up?
I haven't. I was thinking about doing the Stranger Things one, and I heard that one was cool, but I haven't done any of them. No.
This is the only one I've done. I don't know why the fuck I signed up for it, but it just like was one of those things that popped up and I was like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
So I got tickets to, it's called Jurassic Quest.
Oh boy. Not even Jurassic Park, Jurassic Quest. I love it.
They couldn't copyright.
They for sure skirted Jurassic Park as much as they possibly could without getting sued. But they, it was a drive-thru. It was in the Rose Bowl parking lot in Pasadena. And it's literally just, like, what do you think it's going to be when I tell you guys Jurassic
Park? I'm the wrong person because I have my own perspective on this because I run at the Rose Bowl and I see this shit in daylight. Brandy, what do you guys think it's going to be?
Dinosaurs. I need some sort of fake dinosaurs. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're like coming up to your car. Like, are they? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is happening?
What do you think the action of the experience is?
I would hope they would at least move and like come towards you or away, kind of like a haunted house.
Yeah.
Type situation?
Oh no.
I think like obviously if you're going to something like this, you want like a little bit of a sense of like being elsewhere, probably.
Yeah.
And some kind of sense of like I'm not in my car with 300 other cars.
No.
And like
a just tunnel going. Type situation.
Yeah, there was no tunnels. No. There was nothing. You're just in a parking lot. In literally like bumper to bumper, you know, traffic. Or
and it's not a very big cars. Parking lot.
Yeah, there's just hundreds of cars and like no, you can see all the dinosaurs. Yeah. Like you can see everything. There's no separation between any, like there's no like, oh wow, what's coming up next? Because you can literally see every moment of it. And it's all the, any of the dinosaurs that move squeak really loudly. Like there's no...
And they barely, perfect. I mean, the movement is very, like, rusty.
Yeah, it's really old, and they're all just squeaky. And it's this, it was so bad, and they kind of do this, like, radio play, basically. You listen to stuff while you're going through, and it starts out with this song that's, like, really auto-tuned, like, Jurassic Quest! And then they break in, and they're like, welcome to Jurassic, uh-oh, wait, where's the T-Rex? And they basically just do, like, a really watered-down version of Jurassic Park. And then at the end, T-Rex, like, attacks a triceratops and like eats it in front of you. And that's all that happens. And it was just like, it was so bad. And just, there was no separation of like, I was like, there's no fantasy here. All it is you with like other, you're just looking at other people in other cars the whole time.
Wait, is there any action to the T-Rex attack? Or is it just like, then you round a corner and there's a dead triceratops?
Like, it was just a T-Rex like down like this with its mouth pointed at it.
Were they good? Like, were they good? Are they animatronics? Were they good? I mean, like, were they on loan from Universal?
No.
They were obviously, it was obviously some kind of thing that's usually in a museum that I think might be more impressive if you're, like, in a setting, but just literally thrown into a parking lot with, like, one branch draped over, like...
Oh, my God.
It was so sad. And also... I forgot to mention, we got a VR headset for Christmas, and I was like, why the fuck am I here? We got a VR thing. I could be, like, at home watching Jurassic Park and feeling like I'm maybe inside of something. I don't know why we got in my car, in my stick shift, and, like, went every, like, inch.
I wish they really leaned into it not being Jurassic Park, but like the theme song was like da na 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 na, like, and then
barely passable.
Like, no, it's da na da na da na da. It's just
exactly.
I mean, also what strikes me is just batshit crazy about this whole experience because I see it. It's even sadder in the daylight when I do my runs. So I just see these like decrepit animals just like lonely in a parking lot, and then every once in a while I'll run at night and I just see. Disappointed person after disappointed person. Ooh. Just leaving that you never see anyone excited. It's just a bunch of like sad people, but they have the nerve. The last thing you drive through, is this a decoration or is it real? The souvenir shop, is that real?
Oh, it's real.
They have the nerve to try to sell you souvenirs at the end of this thing.
What is this? Was it expensive?
Yeah, you literally like point to it and we didn't look at the price. Oh, no, yeah, the price was $60.
To get to, like, actually do it, was it expensive?
Yeah, it was $60 to get in.
Oh, I mean.
Wow.
You know.
Her car. So a lot of people like had a ton of kids in their car. I guess it's maybe worth it. But I saw so many people. I kept like maybe almost taking a picture. And then I'd be like, why am I there? I will never look at this again. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, people are taking video. And you're like, this is never going to see the light of day. No one's ever going to want to watch this video of like a T-Rex in a parking lot. Wait, it was just real sad. And we were also the only people without children in our car.
Oh, my. So wait, Tess, did you say that they still have these dinosaurs during the day just like out that you just can see them?
Yes. Yes. Oh, for free. God. You can just drive to the Rose Bowl and see the whole show standing there. It's all out there for the taking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just listen to like Jurassic Park on audiobook, I think, and then go on a run there and you'll get pretty much the same buck bang for your buck.
Did you feel like, I feel like whenever I do those things, I have to like pretend like I like it. Like I don't like to be negative, and especially if it was expensive, like I have to try to talk myself into
liking it. I was white knuckling hard to have it be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't done any of this, me and my boyfriend. So I was like, this will be fun.
Once you spend $60 on something too, it's kind of like, I will make this a good time, damn it.
Yeah. I'm very like, you know, someone went through the trouble to do this. Good for them. And I really, really try to like it. But yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound like something I'll pay $60 for.
No.
Yeah, anyway, don't do it. Don't do it. That's all my...
Maybe think of it as like the Nailed It of amusement parks. I think that would be... That's a good thing. Just like, oh no, somebody failed really bad at this and I'm just going to laugh in their face.
Oh my God. Love Nailed It.
We all like bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll be at World. We got to take a bake. A bake? We got to take a bake. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Sona.
I was like, do I say I'm Sona?
We just love to put our guests on the spot.
I
want to
be one of you guys.
In the third segment, you can jump in with your name in the third time.
Okay, cool. All right.
Hell yeah. Hell
I'll be ready.
So, Sona, we're going to ask you some questions to get to know you better.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay.
These are business questions. Babs?
Yeah, here's our hot theme song.
Business.
Please be advised.
Questions.
Business questions.
Are we moving the needle?
We've got some business.
Pull up a chair. Would you like some water?
Business questions. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. Oh my God. Did you guys, is that you guys?
Yeah,
that's us.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. Oh, that just made me day. That was so good.
Now, do you see why one of us accidentally went to a kid's dinosaur thing?
Yeah. That'll happen.
Oh, I love that. That was so good.
We're very proud of it.
Business.
Okay. I think they're open to interpretation however you want to answer, but there's some questions you might hear in an interview setting.
Okay. Oh, wait. Wait. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow. That's...
Did it just take you back?
That's a big one. Yeah.
It is.
Because then you have to think about what is important about me that I should mention. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Well, I'm from Los Angeles.
Love it.
I'm a native. I'm 3/4 Armenian, 1/4 Greek. My dad's a halfie. And then I have a dog. I'm married. Oh Jesus, what are the important things about me? Isn't that like, if someone's like, hey, Sona, what are like, or like, hey guys, what, tell us about yourself. Like, you have to think about what's important to you. Oh,
it's a difficult question to boil yourself down sometimes.
Isn't it? Because you're like, what's important about me? Is that it? Is that me in a nutshell? My God. Yeah, I guess that's it. I love that I mentioned that I had a dog before I mentioned I was married. But those are one of my priorities.
This is a pretty common marriage
love
thing.
Love my husband, but love my dog. Yeah, I live in Altadena. That's something.
Nice. Love it out there.
I worked for Conan O'Brien. I guess that's something. I worked for him for 12 years. I thought I was going to work for him for 5. And here I am 12 years later.
Did you give yourself that deadline?
You know what they did? Because I think that not deadline, but they were like, we're really hoping you could, you know, sign on for a 5-year commitment. And at the time I was like, I'm just going to tell them I will, but there's no way I'm staying for 5 years. And then I did. And then I stayed for 7 more. And now I'm probably going to stay there till I die. Or Conan dies. Whichever comes first.
At this point, how many years do you think you have to be an assistant before you get written into the will of somebody?
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I have no idea. I hope I'm written into the will now. Or if not written into, like, I just want something. Like, I want him to, like, give me something like of value, but I don't know what. But you know, he also has 2 kids, so like, you know, he should just leave them.
So you
everything.
Want one of the kids?
Yeah, take the kids.
I'll take a kid. Yeah. Why not?
Are they coming of prom age anytime soon?
Actually. One is 17 now, and the other one's 15. So, you know, I'll go to prom.
Yeah, dust off that prom dress.
Experience date. Like, how fun is that job?
It's really fun. It is really fun. I can't, it's like, I tell my friends, it's like going to daycare. Cause Conan's the kind of guy who he's like, his power comes from just like making the people around him laugh. And the more he makes them laugh, the more he tries to make them laugh. So there's moments where I'm just like laughing at work all day. And it's really fun. I mean, I don't think I'm not one of those people who would stay at a job I hate. And like, I've quit jobs before without anything else waiting for me and just being like, cross my fingers, I'll find something, but I hate that job so much. But this job, I loved it on day one and I still love it today. So I'm very lucky. It's awesome.
Yeah. Conan just seems like, well, I mean, I think obviously for comedians, he's like the one. Like, he just like, he's the one that I think we all respect the most. And like, that would be just the dream to work with him. But yeah, do you feel like you have to always be funny working there?
No. I don't have to be funny ever. It's nice because it's like, you know, and the other thing is like, I'm not going to go toe to toe with Conan. I think that would be insane. So I think that like, I like just like reacting to a lot of the things that he says, which is just like, some of the jokes that he comes up with that we can't even air. It's like, I mean, you guys all do comedy. It's like, some of the best stuff is stuff you can't actually perform because it's just way too much. And so, I don't feel any pressure to be funny ever because it's also not my job. Like, my job is to make sure his schedule is taken care of and, you know, make sure he gets his lunch. You know, it still is that. But then also, like on the podcast, when we're doing the podcast, like I never feel like I have to be funny. I feel like if I set him up for something that he goes off of, that's like me doing my job. I feel like I tee it up and then he just like goes wild with it.
But I do think that that's a huge skill. And like, when I listen, you are very funny on the podcast.
Oh,
It's seriously. But yeah, like I think, you know, in order for like to dance with someone like that, I think you kind of have to know what you're doing, too.
I guess, you know, I mean, I think a lot of that is just us working together for such a long time that they just took our dynamic and how we are in the office and they just put microphones in front of us. Cause there's people who are like, when they come and they listen to us, like argue with each other or like fight about something, it's just always like, oh God, these two fucking won't shut up. And I think that like, cause people do revere Conan so much. And I think that I'm thinking people respond to me just not revering him.
You know? For sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Just being very honest with him and being very blunt. I think that that's what people probably like, but I don't know. No idea.
Is it like, how is it like having like a fandom respond to you when that's not a thing that you ever really sought out?
It's weird. It is really weird. I mean, I remember, like, we've gone to Comic-Con 5 years in a row, and throughout it, like I was featured on the show more throughout the year, and then the podcast started. So the first year he would go out after every show to like say hi to people and sign autographs and stuff. And then, I would go out with him, and then I would just kind of stand next to the car, just kind of waiting and checking my phone and stuff. And then the like second year, like one person was like, "Hey, Sona." And I was like, "What? You know who I am? Oh my God." And then the third and the fourth. And finally this like last year we went, which was 2 years ago. I remember there were a lot of people who were just kind of like, "Sona, hi." And I'm like, "How do you know my name? I'm so excited that you know me." And you know, like, it's just it's a very strange thing. But I also think I'm at that point where people are like, "You look kind of familiar. I don't know who you are." And that's like exactly where I want to be. I don't want to do more than that. That's like where I'm happy.
That seems ideal. Like maybe we went to college together. Maybe I've seen you on TV.
Yes.
All of that character actor life.
The craziest thing is like I've gotten like recognized for my voice before. And then somebody will be like, "Wait, do I know you from somewhere?" And it's like, I don't. That's the weirdest thing to me, that I'm like, "Oh, you've been listening to me, but you don't know my face yet."
That's very cool. I think that there have been a couple times where someone's come up to me and they've been like, "You look really familiar." And I'm like, "I work for Conan O'Brien." And they're like, "Oh, I don't watch Conan. That's not it." And then they'll like, we'll realize we met like through a cousin or something. And that's really fucking embarrassing. Where you're like, "I work for Conan O'Brien. Obviously you've like seen me or you listen to the podcast." And they're like, "No, I have no idea who that is. But I still think I recognize you from somewhere." And that's the worst, where you're like, "Oh, right. I'm friends with your cousin."
Yeah.
Yes. We met at a party once. That's what it was. Like,
"Oh, I knew you from prom, right?"
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I went to your prom a few years ago.
Can you guys even, like, are we going to know who people are after, everything comes back? I feel like my level of just not remembering people is going to be so, I guess maybe there'll be a better excuse for it, but
it was already
so bad.
Very bad for me. Like, I already had well exceeded my capacity of faces I could remember.
Yeah. There are people I've worked with for 12 years where I've forgotten their names. I've just completely forgotten them. Isn't that awful?
That happens to me all the time. It's just something in there just blanks and you're like,
It happens to you once and it instills this paranoia in you that you're, at least for me, I constantly am afraid that I'm going to forget someone's name even if I know it. Do you guys have that?
Yeah. Oh, my God. For sure. Or I'll like second guess myself and I'm like, "I'm pretty sure I know your name is Tess." And then I'm like, "Am I sure your name is Tess? Hold on. What if it's like, I don't know. I can't think of another Tina. What if it's Tina?" And I'd be like, "Oh God, is her name Tina?" Like literally would spiral. And
what then do you just do? Do you say their name really fast? Cause I've done that
sometimes
where I've just said it really fast. Like, I can't remember. And then like, "Oh, hey, you know," it's just,
I think as soon as someone says their name to me, my brain just stops working. And then immediately I start to like, "Wait, what was that? What did they say?" And like, so nothing after
I'm a huge listening. Fan. I really like a generic, "Hey."
Yeah. I feel like I've really cultivated a personality that I can just go, "Hey man, good to see you." Like that's kind of a part of it. Am I easygoing? Actually, no, I'm very type A, but I want to be able to say, "Hey man," because I won't know your name.
Smart. That's smart.
I am not good at this. I can't even count how many times, especially when I was running Sauce, the weekly comedy show, how many times somebody would come in and be like, "Hey," and I would just be like, and they could see the panic in my face. And then they would be like, "I'm this person from this. Yeah. We've met or whatever." And I can't. I have no poker
face. And some people just look different every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or they don't look like their name. Like there's people where I'm that's not your name. Your name is Michelle. I know that you think that your name is Brittany, but it's Michelle. And I know that it is.
My boyfriend's name is Adam and I don't think he looks like an Adam. And I almost like don't call him that all the time because I don't think he looks like one.
What does he look like?
Yeah. What does he
look
like?
Yeah, what do you think? I don't know what he looks like, but I don't think he looks like an Adam.
What does he look like?
He's like he's not like a Lance, but he's like an L name. I don't know why Lance is called
Larry.
Lance.
Luke.
Oh, Luke.
Luke. Oh, Luke.
Just start calling him Luke. He won't mind at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably be like, "All right, whatever."
Do you feel like a Sona?
I am. You know what? My first name is Tallinn. Mm. And then my parents started calling me Sona when I was a month old because they were like, oh, Sona's like an old lady name. And I'm like, we're in the United States. Like, no one knows a Sona. So why would you even? But having a different first name from the name that you go by is such a pain in the ass. I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. But I think that I feel like a Sona. Sona's my grandma's name. And I said this on the podcast, but when she passed away, she had a nickname. And the nickname was Tumble, which means chunky. And so somebody put that on her gravestone. So it says like chunky Movsesian, basically, like in a different language. And so... Yeah. When my grandpa passed away and they took the tombstone, they were like, should we change her name so it's not her awful nickname where everyone was calling her Chunk, basically. And so, but at that point, I was born and my aunt was like, you know what? There's already another Sona Movsesian and it would be really morbid to put that on a gravestone. So in East LA, there's my grandma and my grandpa's gravestone and her name says basically it's Tumble, but it says Chunky Movsesian, which is like the worst thing that I could possibly think of.
They didn't put his creamy.
Hey, that was good.
Ooh, Daddy Babs over here.
I love that. That was good. I like that.
I love it.
I am also named after my grandmother, so I understand the...
Is your name Barbara? You know,
yeah, okay. Yeah, Barbara. Babs. So, and my middle name is Dorothy after my other grandma. So, lots of grandmas.
Lots of grandmas.
Yeah, my real name is Brandis, but I go by Brandy, and nobody's ever called me Brandis a day in my life, including my parents. But it is this weird legal name that I forget about often.
Huh. Yeah,
and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta write that part.
Brandis, like Jonathan Brandis.
Yes. Yeah.
When, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So the week that he passed away, me and this guy, John, that I went to film school with, we had a massive falling out. And the next day, Jonathan Brandis died. And I was like, did we do that?
You did that.
Oh, kind of felt like it.
I've never heard of Brandis before. That's such a cool name.
Thank you. Yeah, my dad said he made it up. It's like, he's like, I couldn't choose between Brandy and Candace. So I just... threw it out there.
Why compromise?
So you could have been
Candy.
Oh, just Candy. Oh.
Which would have been a very different life. A very different life. Yeah. If my name was Candy Posey. That's...
Oh my God. I can really see it now. That is your alternate universe. Self.
Okay, guys. Back to business.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Back to business.
We got really
business.
Off track here.
Yes. Teresa?
I am a Teresa. Yeah, I am. Okay. And same issues. All the same issues. I never felt like a Teresa in my whole life. I tried to float the... I was a kid when Blossom was popular, so I tried to call myself 7 or 8. Cool. There was a number I was trying to go by. I was trying to go by TC for Teresa Comedian. That didn't...
Whoa! Wait a minute. I don't remember the TC year, like when you did stand-up.
No, TC Barker. Like second grade.
Oh, I thought you were like, my comedian name was TC.
Oh my God, what if I had like a secret history as a fucking test the funny comedian? TC.
TC Barker runs a circus for sure.
Exactly. Well, Barker is a circus job. That's I love that about my last name. But because of course we called him the circus. But one of my best friends as a joke in like third or fourth grade started calling me Tessa Roxy Bertha Gertrude Fardad Esther Raul.
Oh my God.
What? And I shortened that to Tess, and I've been Tess ever since.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, can we get that one more time? Clean.
Yes. Tessa Roxy Bertha Gertrude Mildred Esther Fardad Raul.
Oh my
My best friend in fourth grade called me that like every day.
That's cute. You know what? I started calling my best friend Piss in seventh grade. And it has been decades. And I still call her Piss. She's saved in my phone as Piss. And because you know when you call someone something, because her name is Christina, and I think I accidentally was like Piss. And I was like, oh my God, your name rhymes with Piss. That's hysterical. And so I was just like, that's your name now. And it's... I mean, 20 years later, I'm still calling her Piss. It's awful. She's a mother now.
I mean, mom's Piss too.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope we got to give a speech at her wedding. Just like, I remember Piss back in the day. I'm glad Piss finally fell in love.
Yeah. I think those best friend names, yeah, they really stick. Like me and my friend, who would, we write, you know, notes to each other, and we still use those nicknames for each other. So
what are they?
Good.
Yeah, what are they?
Like, they're so embarrassing. I'm not.
Come
I can't.
On,
Barbara.
Come
Barbara.
On.
No, I can't.
You're just making us want it more. Just make something up.
The amount. No, but they're just so dorky. They were like fucking about the Beastie Boys in Star Wars and shit like that. They were just
cute.
Nerdy likes, you know.
All right. Patreon.com/ladytolady. Yeah, Barbara we'll will drop it over there.
You got to pay, though.
Man, I like that. That's. I've said so many embarrassing things.
I know.
On this podcast
I'm like, this
eight
is
where
you talked about, like, bodily injury from making out, and you're not gonna
you injured yourself
because Kes, that's cool, okay? That's a cool thing. You see I'm wearing a jean jacket, I'm trying to go for an image here.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
Sona, out of all of the candidates, why should we hire you?
Oh, you know what? You really shouldn't, honestly. I'm not even joking. Here's the thing. So this job, I watch a lot of TV while I'm at work. I need many, many weeks off a year that are paid. I will likely forget the things that you asked me to do. I'm very frustrated. But you know what I do that I not a lot of people do that I'm proud of myself for doing is I always own up whenever I mess something up. Like, I'm not someone who's like, oh, they did it. I'm like, oh, you know what? I messed up. I should have done something else. So, I mean, I guess that.
Wow, you're just telling us a great strength of yours. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You just no, got it
honestly,
in there.
I think about this all the time. I'm like, I don't know where I would work after this job because I think that I've gotten so complacent that I just, I don't, I, there's so many better people that you would hire besides me. Honestly, I think that you really you should keep looking.
I haven't had that like. Well, I guess I'm working a job now where the new job has like washed off, you know, and it's not just like everyone's pretending that they're perfect or whatever. Yeah. And it's so interesting when you're like, oh right, like this is who we really are. We're all kind of pretending at the beginning. Now it's just like I'm just trying to fucking get through this. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's liberating to like not pretend you're perfect. I don't know why people still do that. It's crazy. But I guess also,
this is just a little beef I have on the tip of watching TV at work. Like pretty much every job I've had, people watch TV on their laptops. How come it's not acceptable? Oh, why can't I bring in a book?
Wait, why can't you bring in a book?
I feel like it's not culturally approved. Like, it's weird if I'm sitting...
I think it's just like, yeah, it's like eyes on the screen all the time.
Yeah, like if I watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can cheat watching TV. Because, like, you just minimize a screen and your email's there. But, like, if you're reading a book, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, do you have better things to do? Do you want us to leave? Leave you alone with your book?
Yeah, I guess it's just a little bit more flagrant. Like TV, you can at least try to make it look like you're working. A book is a choice
or whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't read. What are you doing?
That's true. That's why I wanted to ask you about it, Sona, because I was like, should I be reading?
Just stop reading. No. My husband's the kind of guy who'll read like four books at once. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm lucky if I read a book in a year. That's how bad I am. And so, yeah, like I'm just like I'll see him reading and I feel like sometimes he flaunts it in front of me like, look at me. I'm reading a book. And I'm like, well, I just binged my sixth show this week. So who's better off?
My track record with reading is so bad now because my attention span is just horrible. And the little time free time I have is definitely going towards garbage TV.
Yes.
So I opened a book the other day that I had bought like this last year. And I was like, okay, here we go. And I got one page in. And I was like, okay, no, this is good.
I know. What book was it? Do you want to say? What book was it?
I didn't honestly really know what it was. I just kind of got it randomly. And it was like a fantasy sort of like Tolkien. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't happening. Yeah, no.
Oh, that's a big commitment, too.
Yeah, that's huge.
To jump into a fantasy, that's a whole world.
No, it had a map. It had a map in the beginning.
No. No. Abort. Abort. Abort.
You got to get out.
You got to get out. You can't do maps. I did this thing. The last bookstore had this really great, and I think they still do, where you just tell them the kind of books you like and you tell them the genres you're interested in and the books you read. And then you give a price point and then they send you books that they recommend for you. So I went like balls to the wall. I was like $50 worth of books. This is what I like. And they sent me like 6 or 7 books. I can't even remember. I have not read a single one. And I had such high hopes. I was like, this is going to be the pandemic where I read. I'm going to be new Sona.
This is the one.
This is the pandemic. Of all the pandemics in my life, this one is the one where I read. And then I just got him and I was like, oh, geez. I just, the TV's right there. I'm so stupid. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, I have to say also, like, just working in the entertainment industry, like, reading is not a useful skill. Like, you never get asked in a job interview, like, for a TV job, like, what you're reading. They always ask what you're watching. And I also only watch trash TV. So I always, every job, I'm always like, Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah.
Like, I can never think of any The Queen's Gambit or any prestige TV. I always just name, like, whatever 90 Day Fiancé bullshit.
Yeah.
But then if you're lucky, that's the good thing about trash TV is everyone watches it.
That's true.
Everyone does. Then if you catch someone who does, you're like, oh, now we can talk about some shit.
Yeah. It's like sports, okay, but less violent. Okay.
We have to go check Sona's references. We'll be back in just a second.
BRB.
It's Lady, I'm Babs.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wait, Barbara?
That happened. Was it. What happened?
Barbara just became the Jurassic Park dinosaur, right?
That would have been more exciting. Yeah. It would have been more exciting. Welcome back to the show. You guys get it. We're all here.
Yeah, wait, no. We got to do it so Sona can say her name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Hey, welcome back to Lady, I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Sona.
Yeah,
oh, that was too eager. That wasn't
another
good.
Take.
That was so like, I want to be one of the girls. No.
Do
I
another
hate
take.
It. Yeah,
do
can we do okay. one more take? Let's
okay.
do it.
Okay. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm I'm Sona. Jesus. No, when I'm aware of it. Oh no. When I'm aware, it's worse. That was so bad. Oh, it's not going to get better than that. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I mean, I think it was perfect. I think
we should end the show right now. Yeah.
We've already nailed it. There's nothing else to explore.
Thanks.
It can't get much better than this.
All right, we're going to answer some advice. If you guys want to ask us for our advice, I don't know why you will, but if you do, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or give us a call at 323-6-BUT-30. Let's play the theme song.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, there was two of them. Two whispers. One wasn't enough for sure. Oh, I love that. That was so fun. I love all the songs you guys have on this podcast.
Thank you so much for appreciating our jingles. You know, it's not for everyone.
Oh, they're so fun.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So really quick. Sorry. Last one. Well, other jingle is
the phone number. Oh, yeah. This is important. Yeah.
If you missed our phone number.
Here it is.
If you missed the phone number.
323-6-BUT-30.
It's 6-BUT-30 somewhere.
Okay. Give us a call.
But, like, but?
Yeah. B-U-T-T? But,
yeah. That's fantastic. Oh, I love that.
Also somewhat confusing if you dial it because it's just in the middle of the thing. So thank you for the people who've gotten through.
who've gone through
the trouble of spelling that out to figure out the phone number. All right, let's do it.
Hey, this is Allison, long-time listener, first-time caller. So I don't really, wanted to say, what would you do if your husband never, like, wanted to spend time with you? Like, just now, I asked my husband if he wanted to go with me to take the cardboard to recycling, and I know that that's boring. It's not, like, a fun activity, but we just don't spend that much time together during the week, you know? Like, we're both working, and we both work from home now, so maybe we are spending too much time together. I don't know, but he never wants to spend time with me, and this makes me a little sad. So I'm here recycling by myself, like usual. Anyways, how do I get him to spend more fucking time with me? It's just lonely. Now, just feels really lonely right now. Anyways, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm going to go spend some money. But any advice on how to get him to want to spend time with me? I feel so stupid, like I'm begging him to spend time with me or whatever. No, we've been married 3 years, so don't know if you need to know that. Okay, sorry this is sad. Anyways, I really love you guys and your podcast. I saw you live right before quarantine in Boise, Idaho. I saw you live. So that was fun. I hope I get to see you guys again. Okay, love you, bye.
Oh my gosh.
Allison, I'm so fucking sorry that you're feeling this way right now. Man, shit is so hard during quarantine. I think that this is some shit that we've never really had to deal with at all. So it's so hard to have reference points for what is quarantine, what is a regular marriage issue, you know, so everything is compounded by everything that's happening right now. It's so fucked.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, this is a because when she first started talking about it, I thought they were married for 20 years.
Yeah.
So 3 years really isn't that long where he should be sick of spending time with her. But I don't know. I mean, when I was listening to it, I mean, the only thing I could think of is try to figure out something he's interested in and just ask him if you can join him in doing it. I don't know if he likes playing video games. Maybe you could watch him play video games, or I don't know. I mean, that's tough. That's really hard. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I think it is, your options are so limited in terms of I think in any marriage or long-term relationship, quarantine or no quarantine, you've got to really make an effort to plan date nights and do fun mm-hmm. things together, because when you live together, that just can't be your only time you spend together, is when you're doing the dishes and, mm-hmm. and the chores and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You have to I think schedule in fun activities, which is so hard when everything is closed. But maybe there's a way, I don't know, my husband and I have been doing a lot of picnics,
oh, that's sweet.
Hikes, shit like that. I mean, yeah, is there cute outdoor stuff that you could plan with just the two of you? But I'm saying and frankly, yeah. I'm fucking pissed at this guy. Yeah. If I'm going to be honest.
Too. We're all really fucking mad at him. It's really shitty.
That's the thing, is it's fuck you. You should want to go hang out with your wife while you go to the recycling, because it's not about the recycling. Yeah. It's about being together.
Yeah. I did this, you're basically stuck with him, and mm-hmm. I was just talking to my friend, I dated a string of guys who just were not interested in hanging out with me, and now my husband, who I've been married to for a little over 2 years, just always wants to hang out. And I was telling my friend yesterday, I was like, I don't know what it's like to be with someone who just wants to be around me, which is just such a sad thing to say, but I love it, and I think that's such an important thing to feel, is being wanted. I mean, there's so much deeper than just wanting to hang out with someone. It's feeling you're wanted and valued, and that your presence is necessary for someone. And I think that that's huge in a marriage. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's crying. This sounds marriage counseling is necessary right now.
Yeah.
I think it's at that level, because it's also you clearly, it feels like you also don't feel comfortable addressing this with him.
Yes.
You know, it's if you're this sad and he isn't aware of it, or even if he is and you haven't, and he hasn't tried, it's this is really fucked for somebody that you're married to be making you feel this way.
Yeah. And I think sure, he could maybe be thinking of it as just we see each other all the time, we're both working from home, but it's not quality time. Yes. And that's an obvious difference. And whether it's through counseling or it's you just talking to him, you need to make that distinction and say,
I think when you live with somebody, you really have to be aware of when you're just home and you don't have plans, then that is just you guys hanging out. And that's a plan B, because another plan didn't emerge. But that isn't a mindful thing that was, you're okay, tonight we're going to do this, or this is, I'm in this moment. You know, I mean, I wonder if he is aware of, number one, you need to talk to him first if like this is how you feel.
She said she's begging him to want to spend time with her though, so I wonder if she has already tried.
Yeah,
and it's a tough thing for your ego when you're asking your husband like, can you please spend time with me, and then he's like, nah, I'm busy, or he just doesn't want to, like that that hits hard just as just for someone's self-esteem. That's tough.
I mean, I'll give him like a hair of a benefit of the doubt of just like, obviously this has been really hard and we don't know what everyone's going through, et cetera. But overall, yeah, it's, you shouldn't be feeling like this. You're just, you shouldn't be feeling like this with your partner. And it's something to, I think, dig into with maybe a therapist on your own and with him. But just fuck this guy. I don't know. I'm just like, I am annoyed.
Yeah. Cause I just feel like the rest of the fucking world is out there to make you feel like shit. You know what I mean? Like, you have the whole rest of the world out there. Like, your partner should be like the one that like respects you and makes you feel like more special than literally anyone else.
Yeah. But you know, Babs, that's actually a good point. Like, maybe he's, cause I know a lot of people where this is just hitting them really hard, and maybe he's depressed. Maybe he doesn't want to hang out with anybody. It's not even just her, but you know, they're married and he should be able to like talk to her about that and have a conversation if he's not, if he needs to like talk to someone or, you know, get help. But that's, I just feel so bad for her. You can hear the pain in her voice. It's pain.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that loneliness, it's, that's no joke. And obviously we're all lonely to a point, you know, you can't ever completely like mash yourself with someone else, but you shouldn't, if you have a partner, you should hopefully not be feeling this level of like deep loneliness.
No, you know? And it actually, I think when like you do feel it in a relationship, it can really exacerbate that feeling even more. Like being lonely when you're by yourself versus lonely when you've committed to somebody is more painful.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Which is not to say, I mean, I don't think that just because people get into long-term relationships or get married that they become impervious to loneliness. I mean, you're still just your own person dealing with your own existential dread. Mm-hmm. There's a certain extent you're never...
Oh, no, of course. But, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I meant.
But yeah, I think even if it is like a depression issue, then I still go back to like, I think counseling is a good idea because, you know, if he's averse to seeking help on his own, maybe going at it as like a couple's thing is a good kind of entry point into him talking to somebody.
I'd be curious to know how many other relationships, like how is he handling all the other relationships in his life with his close friends, with his family? Is he retreated from everybody or is it just you?
Yeah.
I think that definitely would give you some idea of like what's going on potentially. I mean, and I mean, also like you still need to come first. Like, I mean, even when you're in something, like somebody that's making you feel this bad, you can put the work into it. But if he doesn't, that's just going to keep making you feel worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And it's really shitty. And nobody deserves to feel that way when you're committed to somebody that you love.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart really goes out to you.
Sorry. Yeah. I love you.
I'll spend time with you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. If you're not like, I mean, obviously it's like you want this from your partner. Are you putting energy into like your other relationships in your life? Obviously it's a different thing, but are you reaching out to friends? Are you reaching out to your family? Make sure that it isn't just like the two of you guys. Like, you know, if I mean, not if you're not getting it from him, seek it somewhere else, obviously, but it's like, you know, make sure that you're reaching out to people that can help you within your life too. And just be like, hey, I just like really need a friend. And you can tell your friends and family that too. I just like really need you to step up for a little bit right now.
Yeah,
I highly recommend calling somebody, even if it's been a long time that you've talked, just an old friend, somebody you've known a while, and just to like have that connection, you know, that you're missing. Because I think, I know for myself, too often I think about making, you know, reaching out to those people and I don't do it. And when you're in this kind of position, I think it can be really helpful for you.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if this is helpful, but for those, I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I miss my sister. I should call her. And then I don't call her. So I like, people I want to call, I put it on my same to-do list as my work stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to do it.
That's a good idea.
Not that I don't want to.
Yeah, that's
I also,
a good idea.
And this might sound a little bit hokey, but, like, you sound like you're in a really bad place. Make a list of all the reasons that you're the shit. You know what I mean? And, like, physically write it out and look at it and remind yourself that you're fucking Allison. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're an awesome person and you deserve to be treated like the awesome person that you are. And like, look at that every day and be like, this is the level that I deserve to be treated at. I think that shit's important.
I mean, number one, you listen to this podcast. Yes. So we know you're great.
Absolutely. Yes. yeah. I think it's just important.
Yeah, you're going to get through this. It's obviously, it sounds like a dark time, but I think try, you know, number one, I would try to get into some kind of counseling. And obviously if he's denying that, then that's, a pretty big deal. And you can kind of cross that bridge when you come to it. But I would definitely try to start talking to somebody now to like lodge out some of these issues and just get them.
Yeah. And if he won't go to counseling with you, talk to somebody on your own. So you can like talk to somebody to talk through this, because you do, you know, you as a person deserve to feel better than this. Like, this is you need to take care of you too, you know, but you got this. We love you. Let us know how it goes. We do want to hear.
And I hope you had fun shopping, because
let us know what you bought. Yeah. Honestly, we would love to know what you bought.
Well, there's our comedy podcast.
We run a real gamut over here sometimes. It's important to get real.
I love it.
Comedy comes from pain, baby.
It does. Yep. It sure does.
Yeah.
Sona, this has been so much fun.
I had such a blast, you guys. I really enjoyed this. I love that this podcast exists.
Thank you.
I had such a fun time talking. I don't think I've ever done a podcast where I didn't know anybody. I haven't met you guys. And I instantly felt so comfortable with the three of you. So thank you for making me feel comfortable. And I had such a great time. So thank you so much. I'd love to come back anytime.
Oh, hell yeah.
And where can people find you on the internet?
Where can...
If you want to be found.
I know. Well, on Instagram, really, that's at Sonamov, Sonamov. That's it. You could look for me there, I guess. I don't post much. This is terrible. I'm so bad at self-promotion.
No, honestly, you don't have to. Sorry, you don't have to. Things. And frankly, it's a blessing leading into
it. I'm scared. Okay. I'm scared.
Thanks, right. Everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey ladies, it's Steph from Nashville. I was home on a snow day today, flipping through Hulu, and was watching the Britney doc, and lo and behold, there's Babs and Tess. I said, holy crap, I was like screaming so loud, my cat jumped off my lap. But anyway, congrats on being in the doc, and I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye!
Hi ladies, my name is Hunter. I completely forgot about everything you asked me to talk about. It was kind of a longish voicemail. I don't know. Anyway, I love the show. I'm listening right now on My Favorite Murder. And I don't know. You probably can't tell, but maybe you can. I'm not a lady. But I think I'm going to keep tuning in. So yeah, just keep doing your thing. I'm excited to hear more. All right. Have a good night. Bye.